You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffiths.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. How are you? Hope you're well. Good to be here. Before we kick off this episode, I just want to say a big thanks to everyone who checked out last week's episode with Jay Weinberg from Slipknot. Holy shit. That episode blew up in a massive way. It got shared around a lot on socials. Our Instagram is still getting a bunch of DMs about it, so thank you so much. To hear the whole episode, I guess click below wherever you're listening to this episode. But on this episode, I am joined by Australian heavyweights Ocean Alley and more specifically guitarist Mitch Galbraith, who came on to promote the band's fourth studio album. It's called Low Altitude Living. It is out next week. I cannot wait for people to hear this. It's definitely their most mature album to date, and it's definitely my favorite album to date. Mitch actually came on the show from the band's tour bus. They're actually touring the US right now. He came on to promote the album, to talk about how it came to be. Obviously, their last album, Lonely Diamond, was released smack bang in the middle of a pandemic, so they couldn't really tour that one and do the cycle properly, but this time, they're going to be doing that. Obviously, they've got shows in the US. They've got shows coming up in Australia at the end of the year, and they are set for a massive 2023. So it was awesome to sit down with Mitch and talk about what's to come from this band. So check it out. Here is my interview with Mitch Galbraith from Ocean Alley on The Plug Podcast. All right, The Plug Podcast relocates from Sydney to New York. I'm now joined by Mitch from Ocean Alley from Northern Beaches, currently in LA on a tour bus. Mitch, welcome to the podcast, sir.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
How you been, man? What's going on? I know, like, as we're doing this over Zoom, you are on a tour bus in Berkeley, right?
Yeah, we're in Berkeley. It's the night before our show in Berkeley, so we just got here and we're loading in.
Yeah, very good. How, are you starting the tour tonight? Or have you done a couple of shows already?
We've done three shows already. We started in Seattle, and then we went to somewhere else, which I can remember right now, but we just had two days off. Played in a place called Arcata,
okay,
which is in Humboldt County, and that was really cool.
As we record this, we are like bang on 7 days from the release of the fourth album. How are we feeling, man?
Good. We're really stoked. It's been in the works for a couple of years now, so it's nice to finally have it coming out, and we've had a good response from the few singles that we've released so far, so hopefully everyone gets around the rest of it.
I saw you did an interview recently and you said it's probably the most mature Ocean Alley album, and I think that's pretty bang on. But I saw as well that you said this is like probably the most nerve-wracking lead up to an album release. Why is that?
I guess there's just all of that added pressure of all the work that we've done before, and we're well stuck into this as a career, as musicians and as a band, so it's important for us to keep making good music, and so in that regard it's a bit nerve-wracking. We're just nervous to see. We've been sitting on it for a while and we've worked really hard on it, so we're just nerve-wracking to see what the response will be.
Yeah, I want to talk about the last couple of years in particular, because you guys released an album like smack bang in the middle of the pandemic. But going back to Chiaroscuro back in 2018, it feels like really leading up to that album and during and after the release is when you guys really blew up. I remember I forget which Splendor it was, but you guys played the main stage, and it was, if you didn't know what time or who was on stage, you would have thought, oh, this is one of the main headliners, because it was packed like all the way back. Anyone that's been to the Byron Parklands would know it was packed all the way to the back. Does it feel like that album was a dramatic shift for you guys as a band, as a, you know, burgeoning indie band coming up to, okay, we're like a very big deal now?
Yeah, definitely. I think in hindsight, it's easy to see that too. At the time, it sort of happened really quick, and, we were just kind of riding the wave. But yeah, in hindsight, it definitely was a turning point, and it's only gotten bigger and hasn't slowed down since then. Yeah,
funnily enough though, it did slow down because of the pandemic.
Oh yeah.
You guys released the third album, Lonely Diamond, in June 2020, which at least for Australia, that was probably smack bang in the middle of that. What was that like? I mean, again, coming from that previous album, everything was going crazy. You guys were nonstop. Then the pandemic happens, leading up to a new album. What was that shift like, as we just said, going from indie band to now blowing up, then going to essentially coming to a complete halt?
Yeah, well, we chose to release that record at the time we did because we kind of wanted to just get it out and give people something to listen to during that pandemic period. And I'm kind of glad that we didn't try to hold on to it for any longer because the pandemic ended up lasting a lot longer than everyone thought. So I'm glad we got it out. But yeah, it was tough not being able to tour it live because we rely on that so much as a band, being able to get on stage and prove ourselves in a live setting. And that was kind of taken away from everyone. So yeah, it was a bit disheartening, but it did give us some time and give us a break that we wouldn't have given ourselves otherwise, to kind of just chill out and reflect on the work that we've done so far and sort of plan for the next cycle. So
a lot of bands have different opinions on it, but like, do you guys see the pandemic as an opportunity to slow down, or were you terrified that shit, the momentum stopped, what are we going to do?
I mean, there was both, but I think more so it was an opportunity to slow down. Yeah. And I've said this many times in interviews, we wouldn't have given ourselves that time off otherwise. And there's so many of our peers that struggle with, you know, finding that work-life balance, especially in this kind of industry. So I think we were lucky to be in a position where we could kind of see the positive in it. And that it's not the case with everyone, but yeah, we kind of lucked out there a bit.
So with this new album then, like, how long has this been in the works as far as, again, Lonely Diamond came out during a pandemic, you couldn't really tour that. When did you decide, okay, let's get back in the studio and start working on a new album?
I think it was pretty soon after that, maybe 6 to 10 months after that we got back in the studio to start working on stuff because we sort of had all this time on our hands, but we weren't able to tour. So instead of spending that time touring, we sort of pivoted and just decided, the only thing we could do was hang out together, you know, in a private setting and go do writing trips and try to demo stuff and get some new music down on the table.
I know you've mentioned as well earlier that there was like one of the reasons you were nervous about this album is because there's a weird perception that maybe some fans won't get on board with the new music. Because again, it really is an evolved, mature sound from you guys. When you have these big singles come out in the past, and obviously Confidence is the big one there, is there this weird fear of, you know, we need to do Confidence again, or the opposite side where let's get as far away from that fucking song as possible and just throw something completely different out there?
Yeah, we're always pretty much like, let's get the fuck away from what we've done before as far as possible. It's just sort of, here's Angus.
Hey, Angus.
Hey, guys.
That's a horrible thing to do on a podcast. No one can see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember thinking we don't want to write another Confidence, I think, for our own sanity, really, more than anything else. And we kind of do that with most of our work, and that's why it sort of each record is a bit more mature than the last and has this kind of progression. And we try not to, write the same song twice. It's quite important for us just as artists and, you know, to be creative and to try new things and to explore new things. And I think with this latest record, because we had that extra time, we were able to do that much easier. So I feel like we've pulled away from the previous stuff plenty.
Yeah, no, great. And given the fact the last album was done in a pandemic, you couldn't really do much with it as far as getting it out there to the people. Did you know that there was a deadline for this fourth album, or was it just, let's get this out as quickly as possible?
We were sitting on it for sure. And right. that was a massive thing. There was less of a deadline this time around. And of course the deadlines did eventually exist, and they eventually got closer and closer, but we did push back a couple times the deadline so that we could revisit and re-demo stuff. And there was a session pretty close to the end of it, before we had it finished, where we went back and completely remixed it, just sort of gave it another tweak, which we didn't really have the opportunity and the resources to do that previously. So I'm glad we did this time, because those last minute sort of changes, I think, were really good.
Yeah. And where do you
to do, but you know, a bit nerve-wracking to make happen right at the end, but we made it work just.
Yeah. And are you still quite nervous for the release of this, or are you a little calmer now given how well the singles released have been?
Yeah, we've sort of given, you know, just given it away now. You have to do that, and it's at some point you need to let go. And so we've done the very best we can, and still a bit nerve-wracking to see what the response will be, but yeah, we've sort of done everything in our camp that we can.
Yeah,
so it's exciting now.
How do you guys feel with it as well? Like, thinking back, I think you guys, last time I spoke to you guys, I think you came on the Splendor podcast. What year did Chance the Rapper pull out? I think that was the last one before COVID, right? 2019.
Yeah.
And that was like, you guys were essentially had become quote unquote mainstream, in that you had officially blown up. You were winning ARIA Awards. You weren't just, you know, deep in the niche.
Nominated.
Oh, give me a fucking break, all right? Yeah. Jesus. Go tell everyone. ARIA nominated band. But, like, you are definitely now a mainstream band. I'm just curious, like, do you hate that term? Because I don't mean it in the way, like, you're pop sellouts. I just mean you're no longer a band that you have to be in the scene to know.
Yeah, no, I don't necessarily hate that word. And I don't think the other guys... I think they would feel the same way. I think it's just, you know, when we were first starting in a garage, we were dreaming of becoming a quote unquote mainstream band. And so do all scene bands. You know, they want to play bigger shows and play to more crowds. And the way you do that is by getting noticed and gaining notoriety and sort of working hard touring and working hard doing interviews and working hard doing studio sessions and all of that. So I think we've been working towards becoming a quote-unquote mainstream band, you know, our whole career. And so we feel rather accomplished that we're well-known in Australia now. So, yeah, and you know, at least a few people know us overseas in the States and Europe as well. So it feels really nice. It's good.
The biggest sign that I know you're mainstream is that when I was just doing some note-taking for this interview, dude, Daily Mail wrote a fucking article about you guys, about that Byron Bay house you bought.
Yeah. I don't know who spilt the beans on that one, but yeah.
Have you seen that article?
Yeah, I have. And I'll tell your listeners that the pictures in the article, if they've read the Daily Mail article, the pictures make it look way nicer than what it actually is.
they are real photos though, right? They've just been clammed up.
They're real photos, but there's obviously no furniture in that house anymore. They were the real estate photos to make it look pretty to sell it. But it's a beautiful piece of land. And you know, that's been one of our dreams as well since we started, to have a place that we can call our own and have a band headquarters. You know, we're a tight group of mates, and we like to spend our time in the outdoors and riding motorbikes and surfing. And so we've got this bit of property which we can call our own, and eventually one day want to turn into a studio, and so we can host other bands that you know, need to use that space.
So I don't want to quote Daily Mail on this. So it is your actual home that you're hoping to also make into a studio, right?
Correct. There's a couple of us living there right now. We're not all living together, but yeah, one day we do want to make it into a studio for sure.
Okay. And moving forward then, what are the plans for the next 12 months? I mean, I'm assuming, I know you've got some shows over the new year in Australia. Obviously, you're on this US tour right now. Is the plan get the album out there, perform as much as you can, or are you guys already fucking working on a fifth album?
Definitely not working on a fifth album. We're flat out still finishing this Lonely Diamond tour. And so we're over in, we're in Berkeley, California right now at the start of our last tour for the year. So by the end of October, we'll be finished this up, and we've got the album will be out, and we've decided to have 2 months, November and December, off for some personal family time. And then, we pick up again doing Falls Festival over New Year's. And then in the middle of January, we go to New Zealand to play a whole bunch of festivals over there. And then I think after that, Feb, March, there's some other Australian stuff that's in the works. It's another Australian tour. And then I think in the middle of next year, we might think about trying to find some time to write some new music. Still got a big schedule of shows before we get back into any new stuff for sure.
So besides these 2 months coming up, you're not planning on having any substantial time off, at least in the foreseeable future?
Nah, not really. And then maybe here and there in Feb, and then we're straight back into playing shows. Like I said before, we're just trying to finish this Lonely Diamond tour, which is finishing, at the end of this month. And then we're going to have new music straight out. So hopefully we can roll straight into touring the new stuff
Yeah.
straight away.
And you guys
Yeah.
seem to have a theme where you're releasing a new album every 2 years, though. Can we expect something new in 2024, or at least at the end of this run, you can just settle the fuck down and just have a break?
Yeah, I we would love to keep that sort of pace. And so we're just sort of trying to stay in a position where we can see how much touring happens and how much actual free time we have to get together and to write some stuff. So hopefully, yeah, the end of next year we're deep in thought about the next record, and then it'll probably take us a year of fucking around to get one out.
Is the plan for the Byron Bay House studio to be ready by then, or are we talking this is well down the track?
As a proper studio, it'll be well down the track,
Right.
but the way that we kind of operate and the way that we kind of write our music is, and we did this in the pandemic, is we would travel to an Airbnb and lock ourselves away with no distractions, somewhere in nature in a nice farmhouse. And we did that maybe half a dozen times during the writing of this latest record, Low Altitude Living. And so having this property, even though it's not set up as a studio and it's got a big living room, what we normally do is just move all the furniture out and set up a sort of makeshift studio just to do demos and to do writing sessions. And so now we don't have to fork out for half a dozen Airbnbs for a week, throughout the year, and we can go use this property, and it's sort of our own place where it'll be much more comfortable to get that work done, I think.
Has there ever been a temptation, or at least talks within the band? I'm sure you know, being there right now, of packing up your shit and moving to LA and grinding out there and doing a lot of work over there. Because I know a lot of successful Australian artists have made the move. Currently, are some there right now and are doing really well. Do you guys are you interested in that at all, or do you not give a fuck and very much like being in Australia?
Yeah, there's never been much talk about that. So deep down, I don't think anyone really gives a fuck. And we love our home area so much, and I don't know, I feel like we'd get less work done in a place like LA. I feel
Sure.
like yeah, just for the way that we kind of operate and our lifestyle, I think there'd be too many distractions. So
Yeah.
yeah, I don't think that's on the cards for us at all.
Okay. Well, before you go, man, I know Daily Mail need a new article for you guys. So you got any hot leads?
Hot leads. Oh, we'll have to invite one of the journalists to the we haven't had a housewarming party yet, so we'll have to invite him there, and he can see the true colors of the band and see how fancy and ritzy we actually are,
It
because
made
we're
it
not.
look like you're like rubbing shoulders with the Hemsworths and Russell
Yeah, I
Crowe,
know,
like
right?
fucking wild.
Nah, we're sitting down near the garage just like doing donuts and motorbikes and just having fires and just enjoying ourselves.
Well, dude, thanks so much for coming on. Congratulations on the album. It's fucking great. It's probably my favorite today, I gotta say. I can't wait for
Thanks,
everyone to
mate.
hear it, man. And we can't wait to see you back in Australia. Although I'm in New York, maybe come do a tour in
Yeah.
New York. But for the most part, everyone will see you back in Australia.
Yeah, they will. Next time we're in New York, let's catch up person in person.
Yeah, I want to see the tour bus, man.
Yeah, of course. And it's been a pleasure being on your podcast. Thank you so much. It's really flattering that you asked us to be on. So thanks.
Thanks, man. We'll catch up very soon.
Thank you, mate. We appreciate it.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Audio Technica Australia. Subscribe, rate, and review The Plug on your preferred podcast platform. And follow us on Instagram and YouTube at The Plug with Neil Griffiths and on TikTok at theplug.podcast to stay up to date with episode releases and giveaways.